Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I'm Ruben Nava. I'm a one-man car today. I'm flying solo. My partner, Jess Romero, he's out doing some apostolic work. He's flying out of town this morning to go do some power preaching. So keep in your prayers. Make sure for a safe flight and that the hearts are open to those that he ministers to and wherever that may be. Today we have a good show. We're going to give you some Catholic, I think it's real important intel, something you can take away from this and apply it to your own life. And I'm going to be telling you a story of something that was probably the most powerful thing in my life that propelled me to be the man that I am, that allowed me to be filled with the graces that I have to learn the Word of God and to learn my faith. So we'll be getting to that. It's about forgiveness and how forgiveness is not an option, my brothers and sisters. We are all called to forgive. It's one of those passages in Scripture that's all over the place. I want to start with the Our Father. When in Scripture in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, our Lord teaches us, pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So it's right there in the prayer that our Lord taught us, the need to forgive others. And last week, there was a beautiful story that came out. It didn't start off beautiful, but it ended up that way. Out of Dallas, Texas, I'm sure many of you have heard about it. And I'm sure, you know, our listeners, you guys are high information Catholics. So I know that you guys are up to date on some of these stories, these good stories that come out. And they may have talked about it on other shows. I'm not sure. But in any case, there was a case in Dallas, Texas, where an off-duty police officer, a police woman, was coming home from work. And she was still dressed in her uniform and her gear, we call a Sam Brown, or for women, a Sally Brown. So she was still dressed in her police uniform, which over here in L.A., it doesn't happen too much. We're pretty much told that you need to, you know, don and doff your uniform on if you're smart at the locker room or at work, so that you're not driving around in your uniform and you know, could get in trouble. Somebody could take a pot shot at you or want to do something to you. So it's just different states, they operate differently. And anyway, so that was happening. She got home and she lived on the third floor, but she wasn't paying attention. She parked on the fourth floor of her apartment complex, and thinking she was on her own floor, she walked to the apartment and, never says if the door was open or unlocked, but I imagine it was unlocked because she walked right in. Or perhaps she put the key in the lock and she thought that she turned it. And I don't know. She ended up walking into the wrong apartment. There was an African-American man, Botham Jean, was there watching TV and eating ice cream when he stood up to find out who's coming in my house. And she was scared. She was frightened at thinking that somebody was in her house. And she fired two shots, subsequently killing him, which that's bad. And so she realized she's in the wrong place. She calls the department. They come out. Anyway, she gets indicted. She goes to trial. And she's convicted of murder. Now, I honestly believe she never met Botham Jean. She's never had any run-ins with him, no problems with him. This guy was a good guy. He was apparently he's a Christian, and it was a wrong place, wrong time, and just a tragedy all around. not only for Botham Jean, but the officer as well, because she's got to live with this for the rest of her life. We never want to take someone's life that, you know, in any case, you know, I've had close calls, and it's not pretty when you're about to pull the hammer, drop the hammer, and you're able to stop because some, you know, some new revelation came to, or the guy showed me his hands, you know. So anyway, not a good story. But anyway, in the courtroom, his brother was giving a victim statement at the end of the trial, and his brother, Brant, he said that he forgave her, and he was on the stand, and it was very powerful that what he said. This is a man who lives by the commandment that we must forgive others. He got on the stand and he says, his name was Brant Jean, the younger brother of the decedent. And he said on the stand, "I love you as a person," speaking to Officer Geiger. "I love you as a person." And he says, he told Amber Geiger in a sentencing as sobs rippled through the courtrooms he says, "I love you as a person. You know, I don't wish anything bad on you." And he said that if you're truly sorry, he said, "I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you." And he's a Christian, as I said, and his brother professed to be one. So he urged Geiger to turn to Jesus. And he says, "I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that Botham would want for you," he said. And then Brant went so far as to say that he didn't want Geiger to face jail time for the 2018 shooting in the Dallas apartment complex where both Botham and she lived. He pleaded with the judge to let him hug his brother's murderer, a request the judge granted. And so if you see this on video, he goes and he gives her a hug. She comes up to him. She's sobbing. She's hugging him tightly. And when they let go, she hugs him again about two or three times. It was a very moving scene. There wasn't a dry eye in the courtroom. And that's the power of forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen. There's also a brushback because the judge also went and hugged him after the trial. She went and hugged the convicted felon, the former police officer. And she says, how could I ever forgive myself? Will God ever forgive me? Jesus ever forgive me? And the judge told her, yes, he's already forgiven you. And she said that she didn't know she didn't have a Bible. And the judge gave her her own Bible. She gave her the Bible and hugged Miss Geiger. And for that, she's getting some blowback because they're saying there's no place in the criminal justice system for the judge to be doing that. Well, she begs to differ because the trial was over. So we are all people. And we answer to a higher authority, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so the public's not going to want to see kindness, doesn't want to see Christianity in action. And this was an amazing story of forgiveness and redemption. And let's just pray that the families can heal and pray that Miss Geiger can come to Jesus and turn her life around. You know, it was, like I said, it was a tragedy on both sides. It's a tragedy all the way around, but that was a really powerful story. And, you know, our Lord says in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Mark 11, 25 says, "Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions." So we're commanded by God to forgive. And some will say, well, how much to forgive? How many, at what point is enough? Well, Luke 17, 3 and 4 says, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, repent and forgive him." Matthew 18, 22, Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." So in essence, Jesus is saying an infinite amount that you must forgive. Okay. That's what that verse is saying there. It's not seven times. You don't do the math and say, oh, that's 490 times. Jesus was talking and basically an infinite number of times. And the basis of our forgiveness, that's real important. The basis of our forgiveness, that Christ's work on the cross, he died for our sins and for our forgiveness. In Colossians 3:13, it says, St. Paul says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also should you. And so we do it because of Christ's work on the cross. We do it because God's goodness. In Psalm 86:5 says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. And there's reasons for forgiving because God's forgiven us. Okay, so Matthew 6:14, so if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So this is all that it's about. And we're called to get rid of our bitterness. In Ephesians 4:31-32, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other as just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So when we get back, I'm going to tell you a story of how I learned the message of forgiveness. You might want to hear this. We'll be back on the other side of the break. God bless.
This is Jesse Romero.
And I'm Terry Barber.
From the Terry and Jesse Show. And we invite you to listen to the Holy Hour of Power, High Energy Catholic Radio. We're two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. We're on Monday through Friday on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
What we're going to give you is masculine Catholic teachings on the faith. You know, we say we're too inspired to be tired, we're too protected to be dejected, and we're too renewed to be subdued. Why? Because we believe in Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And we will take each issue of the day and show you how the Catholic Church has the answer for our culture. What we really do is bring men back into the Catholic Church, which it's about time to do. We want men to be leaders in their Catholic faith so that they can bring their family to heaven.
Our program is not right versus left, it's right versus wrong. And our program is where Catholicism and culture intersect. It's High Energy Catholic Radio.
We're going to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
The Terry and Jesse Show on the Virgin Most Powerful app.
Jesus said in Luke 17, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have only done our duty. According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back, Jesus 911, one-man car. I am 10-8 and reported for duty, sir. So here I am talking about forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you a story of mine that... I'm not doing it for pat myself on the back. I'm saying it because every time I do tell the story, that there are people that reach out to me and say, thank you for sharing it, because I went through a similar situation. So it's not to cause detraction of the people involved. It's not for calumny, not for gossip. I'm not going to mention names, but it has a good ending. So there was a time in my life, so you all know I'm a former deputy sheriff. And before I got into that, I was in the health club business. So I was a bodybuilder. And so that was that combination, you know, working out 3 to 4 hours a day, you know, when I was getting ready for competition. It didn't leave a lot of time to learn my faith. And that was, in a sense, my God, being so tied up in spending time in the gym. And I was married at the tender age of 21. And I'll tell you, my parents were saying you're too young to get married, but you know, we think we know it all when we're young, right? You know, who was it? Was it Oscar Wilde that said that I'm no longer young enough to know everything? Well, because we do tend to have that. Just think about your children, you know. They don't want to hear it from you. They'll believe somebody else before they believe you. That's just the way human nature is for some reason. I don't know why. So I married a girl who was not Catholic. She was Baptist. My mom was saying, you know, you need to marry a Catholic, mijo. And at the time, being uncatechized, I was, we went to Mass every Sunday. I did make the sacraments as a child. I was an altar boy. And, but it came, I grew up in an age where there was poor catechesis, and I was a product of that. And the Mass had changed back in 69. So that's when I became an altar boy in 71, I believe. So I was serving at the new Mass. And I just told my mom, Mom, one Christian group is as good as the next. You know, she believes in God. And so isn't that important? So I went ahead with it, and you know, we got married in the church, and we agreed to raise our kids Catholic, which we did. But at some point, probably about the age of 24, I got involved in law enforcement, and that combination of being egotistic and hedonistic, getting all this authority, carrying a gun, and because I hadn't developed myself, you know, I give a lot of credit to my parents because I knew right from wrong. I was ethical and all that, but our lower natures kick in and we tend to follow our passions. So I'm going to say here that in any marriage, it takes two. And, you know, I know now that you have to have a solid foundation that put God at the top. And so it's 100% from each side. You're not giving 50%. Well, in any case, I was blowing it. I had I wasn't putting in my 100%. And eventually, it caused my wife to turn away from me, and spending long nights at the station, you know, with late arrests. And then we had that attitude. Well, we work hard, so we got to play hard. So after work, hey, we're gonna meet in the back, have a few beers, and you know. As a few beers turn into, you know, being there a couple of hours, you know, so it took a toll on my marriage. And before I knew it, my wife was involved in with somebody else, her boss at work. And so eventually, you know, the heart knows when these things are going on. You know, I just think anyone who's gone through it, you know, it's like a ground squirrel. They know. When they go out searching for food, they come back. They know somebody has been in their little, you know, their nest or in the hole. So too does the human heart. We know when something's not right. So eventually, I confronted her on it, and I confronted the individual. And but I said, well, who am I? You know, I don't want to sound like Pope Francis, but I said, well, who am I not to forgive? You know, I haven't been exactly the best husband. So I said, for the sake of the kids, we're going to work it out. We went to some counseling, marriage encounters or something like that. Well, about 8 months later, I found out that the affair was still going on. So, you know, how the old saying goes, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So I just, I had to bail, and I left. And when this was going on, I'm going to paint the picture for you. It was right during the trial of Rodney King, 1992. And we experienced something in our history that, most people won't forget. LA was burning. We had riots going on. After the verdict of the four LAPD officers, the community down there felt the outrage that these guys were found, were not convicted. So they later were charged in federal court for civil rights violations, and they found something to stick on them. So in any case, that week, I was beat. First day that it broke off when the trial, and they announced the verdicts, I worked 21 hours that day because I was already scheduled to work a double shift. And so I worked 24 hours, went home, got a few hours sleep, had to come back for the next shift in the morning. So the next day I worked like 20 hours, and the next day I worked 18 hours, and the next day it was nonstop. And you're just on the go, and you're going out there. You're putting out little skirmishes. People are shooting indiscriminately. You know, people are terrorizing, robbing stores, robbing people. It was just chaos, and it just looked like, man, it was a bad time. Well, I was back at my folks' house because I had nowhere else to go, so I went there. I'm always welcome at my parents' house, and but I said, you know, I need to get some sleep because my mom was watching all the grandkids, and so it was a lot of noise. I needed some solid sleep. So knowing that my wife was going out of town, I said, I'm going over there and I'm going to sleep there. So when I happened to go, the individual was in the driveway waiting for her to come out. And so I walked up. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was so enraged, and I got gathering my stuff, and I stick my, you know, my 9mm in my waistband, and I didn't even try to conceal it. I just, it's, you know, sticking out like a gangster walking up. And I looked at him and I said, this is still my drive, still my house. Get this junk out of my driveway. And you could see the look on his face, like, oh man, like like he'd seen the deer in the headlights. Look, I walked in the house. I said, look, hey, this is still my house, and I'm going to sleep here this weekend. So I just go, and your boyfriend's in the driveway. So I didn't talk to her, but it was a very contentious divorce. And I'll tell you, it's tough on the kids to go through something like that. Well, the Lord really brought me down to my knees because it humbled me. You know, it taught me humility that I had not learned growing up. So I at some point, probably 94, so it's 2 years later, I've got a challenge that, you know, you're only Catholic because your mom raised you that way. And this was a gal that I was going out with. And I said, wow, that's, you know, you're right. But everyone could say that, right? You're raised the way you are, and that's what you know. So, but I said, hey, I don't know my faith. I need to study my faith to answer these questions. And long story short, as I was taken to a traditional priest, my sister introduced me to him, and you know, he told me, hey, you need to stop dating her because you're still married in the eyes of the church. And so, I did. But the Lord was convicting me that I needed to forgive, and I needed to forgive now, you know, if I expected forgiveness. And now I was a soccer coach, my children's soccer coach growing up, and And so I'd see them too at the games, but they would sit on the other side of the field because they didn't want to confront me. And it was bad. And so there were times where I can go knocking on, I went knocking on his door at 3 o'clock in the morning after a night of drinking. And I'm ashamed to say it, but I, you know, was pounding on the door saying, "Hey, we're such and such." And I said, he's messing with a cop's wife and that's not healthy. You know, and I was dumb. I was trying to make sure I to verbalize in such a way that I wasn't going to be, it could be construed as what we call terrorist threats over here, 422 of the penal code, that I wasn't saying that I was going to do harm to him, but I felt like I wanted to do harm to him. And, you know, I was like, man, I didn't say this, but I'm thinking, man, I'm a ghetto gunslinger. You know, I carry a badge and a gun. How could he do this to me? You know, so my ego was in the way. And thank God, you know, he wasn't home or he didn't come to the door, but his sisters answered the door. So I'll more about that later, those sisters. And so at some point, I knew that I needed to forgive. And one day I went to, on my days off, I would pick up the kids and I'd go over there to get them. And it just so happened they had gotten a place together and he was in the driveway. And I walked up and he sees me and he's making a beeline for the door because obviously he knows all that's gone on. So I go up to him. I say, "Hey, wait. You know, I won't mention his name, but I said, can you hold on a minute? I want to tell you something." So he came back and he goes, "Yeah, what is it?" And I said, "Well, you know what? A lot has happened. A lot has happened, but I just want you to know that it's water under the bridge, that it's in the past. I forgive you for all that's gone on. And you know what? We're going to hold that thought. So we hear the music. So I'm going to finish this story. We're on the other side of the break. We come back. You're going to hear the ending of this. It has a good ending. So stay with us. Listen to Jesus 911.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist, and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to invite you to take advantage of having your funeral or your loved one's funeral at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina. It's a 115-year-old church, beautiful chapel. And all you got to do is call me at 661-972-7872, and I'll personally make the arrangements with your mortuary to have your funeral or your loved one's funeral here at Sacred Heart Chapel. You won't regret it. 661-972-7872. God bless.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber.
Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. We're talking about forgiveness today. I'm telling my story, and it's not one that the life I was living is not one that I was proud of, and but I'm hoping that you'll be able to take away something from this story that you can apply in your own lives. There's so many people out there that that are living in bondage because of unforgiveness. And I'm talking about marriage and divorce in this story, and it's with over 50% of the marriages ending in divorce. I have a good chance that some of our listeners may be able to relate to what I'm saying here. So I was talking about how I confronted the individual who was having an affair with my wife, and I was at their house in the driveway, and I told them that I had forgiven them. For the last couple of years, I had never spoken to him, and I had gone through a divorce, and it really humbled me. And the Lord, as I learned my faith, I learned that I needed to forgive. I couldn't be holding on to this. How could I be going to confession and asking for forgiveness when I wasn't willing to forgive? And that's a deal breaker, ladies and gentlemen. So I told him I forgave him, and I forgave him, and I said, but I want to ask one thing of you. And he looked at me like, well, what is it? You know, I said, will you forgive me for all the times I wanted to hurt you, for all the times that I wanted to see you suffer like I suffered, for all the times that I wish you dead? You know, all the times that I wanted, I had ill will towards you and pent up anger towards you. Will you forgive me for all that? And he paused for a moment, his mouth dropped open, and he just said, yeah. Yeah. So, with that, it's almost like when you hear the words in confession, and I absolve you of all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that was the deal breaker right there. When I got that off my chest, and I heard, and he said he would forgive me. Anyway, it was amazing. It reminds me of the movie Ben-Hur, when Ben-Hur, at the end of the movie, when he's on the old Ben-Hur, but the original movie with Charlton Heston, and he's on the road, he sees Jesus walking. They don't show it, but he comes back and he tells his family, his wife, that he saw this man, and he realized that he couldn't have that anger and that animosity towards his stepbrother, his half-brother, who was now a Roman curator, you know, Roman governor or whatever the position he had. And he said, and I remember that line, he says, the sword had been lifted from him. So that sword had been lifted, taken out of the sword that had been carried around my back was now taken off. That monkey was off my back. I felt lighter. I felt free. I felt like I'd been released. They opened that prison gate and I walked out a free man. I was a condemned man. I was on death row and didn't even know it, ladies and gentlemen. I was in bondage from anger and hatred and malice and all these things that the scripture tells us about that we need to get rid of. We need to root out in our lives. And I'll tell you, as the over the years, you know, they stayed together and the kids, we'd had graduation parties and birthday parties. I'd see them there, and we were on good terms. They were, you know, he was a good man to my, as a stepdad to my kids. And one time, my daughter was working as right out of high school. She had a job at the theater, and she, there was a movie that I wanted to see, and there was a movie that he had wanted to see. And so she invited us both. She goes, "Do you mind?" I go, "No, I don't mind." And so we sat in the movie theater together. And if anyone could have seen that, it would have, you probably would have thought, well, this is awkward. You know, this is awkward. The people say nowadays, that's a little uncomfortable. But, you know, it wasn't. You know, when my son got married, you know, I sat there and talked to him, and then most recently when I sold my house, and I was selling some furniture because we got some new furniture, and he purchased my sofa and love seat from me. So, you know, I'm telling you, it is gone. You know, let bygones be bygones, and it is really and truly in the past. And so you can, but this is not humanly possible. This is not something that we could just do on our own because of good nature. Just because I want to be a nice guy, you know, or I want to be a nice gal. That, you know, being nice doesn't get you to heaven. Being nice doesn't get you to heaven. Nowhere in scripture does Jesus use the words, you got to be nice. So what I'm telling you is that this is not an option. So you forgive as Christ forgives us. And the other thing too is that I was going to a mass at a little chapel. Well, one of his sisters, she met a friend of mine from the department, and at the time she was working at a travel agency in East LA where we worked. Well, that my friend met her, and they got started dating, and they ended up getting married. And lo and behold, they were going to mass with us. Just a sweetheart of a girl, and turns out, okay, after about 9 years praying on it, and I also was praying that, you know, that I could get an annulment. And after a long time, I was able to get that. And the Lord, you know, provided me with a beautiful wife, and I don't take it for granted. So that's my story. But now, you know, I've been married 19 years to my wife that I'm with now. And there were some impediments in my previous marriage before we got married, and I won't go into that. But I'll tell you, this friend, this individual's sister became, and her husband became really good friends of ours. And his sister asked my wife to be their daughter's sponsor for confirmation. So, man, life has some twists to it, and it comes full circle. So, recently when my daughter graduated from college, all his sisters were there, and it's like one big happy family. You know, I haven't begrudged nobody, and it's truly a good feeling. It has a happy ending. And I can honestly say that there's nobody in my life that I hold any grudges towards, you know, but there are people out there. I know people in our audience that are listening. They haven't talked to their brother in 5 years. They haven't talked to a sister in several years. Maybe they're not speaking to their parents. Maybe they have an estranged child. Maybe there's somebody that let you down. Someone, you know, maybe it's an ex-spouse that, and I'm not necessarily saying you have to go and tell them you forgive them, but you have to forgive them in your heart, and you have to let our Lord know you forgive them and let it go. Otherwise, you're going to be in worse shape than they are. The forgiveness, it's not for the person that you have anger towards. It's for you. It's for you, ladies and gentlemen, for you to be unbound so that you can let go of this stuff. So let's hear what some of the saints say. St. Philip Neri says, if a man finds it very hard to forgive injuries, let him look at the crucifix and think that Christ shed all his blood for him and not only forgave his enemies, but even prayed his Heavenly Father to forgive them also. Let him remember that when he says the Pater Noster, that's the Our Father, every day, instead of asking pardon for his sins, he is calling down vengeance on himself. Did you hear that? If you don't forgive and you're saying that the Pater Noster every day, you're asking and asking for pardon, you're bringing vengeance on yourself. St. Philip Neri. St. Faustina says, he who knows how to forgive prepares for himself many graces from God. As often as I look upon the cross, so often I will forgive all my heart, with all my heart. St. Maximus, the confessor, says, to the extent that you pray with all your soul for the person who slanders you, God will make the truth known to those who have been scandalized by the slander. You know, that reminds me of the Litany of Humility. If you've never prayed the Litany of Humility, I suggest you look it up. It was written by Cardinal Mary Del Valle. He was the secretary to Pope Pius X, and he authored that probably in 1907, 1908, somewhere around there. It's a beautiful prayer, and it talks about people who speak ill of you, that you know, to give you the grace to desire that, you know, that to forgive them. And I'll tell you, get a hold of that litany and start praying that Litany of Humility, because we all need it. I still have to confess pride, you know, when I go to confession. St. Faustina Kowalska also said, for there are three ways of performing an act of mercy: the merciful word, by forgiving, and by comforting. Secondly, if you can offer no word, then pray. That too is mercy. And thirdly, deeds of mercy. And when the last day comes, we shall be judged from this. And on this basis, we shall receive the eternal verdict. So if you can't go tell them that you forgive them, but pray for them and do acts of mercy, do acts of penance and reparation. St. Thomas Aquinas says, this blood that but one drop of has the power to win all the world forgiveness of its world of sin. And I'm innocent. Well, I'll tell you that I'll share a few more of these when we get back, and we're going to be talking about another article. But you're listening to Jesus 911, and we've been talking about forgiveness, and I'm hoping that you're these things are starting to brew, and you're thinking about this in your life.
Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle, and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to the Terry and Jesse show, and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on-fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber.
Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, one-man car. I am 10-8. I'm giving you Catholic briefing, Catholic intel on forgiveness. And I just I shared my story that was probably the most important thing that I did in my journey back to the faith is that I forgave my my ex-wife and her boyfriend, and then it caused me to be open to receive the graces that I was able to receive to go forward in my spiritual life, and I was freed, and I was in bondage and didn't even know it. St. Augustine says, forgiveness is the remission of sins, for it is by this that what has been lost and was found is saved from being lost again. St. Francis of Assisi said, fear and honor, praise and bless, thank and adore the Lord God Almighty in Trinity and unity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creator of all things. Do not put off any longer confessing your sins, for death will soon come and give it all be given you. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Blessed are they who die repentant, for they shall go to the kingdom of heaven. But woe to those who are not converted, for these children of the devil will go with their father into everlasting fire. Be watchful, therefore, shun evil, and persevere in well-doing until the end. You don't want to wait to the end to forgive that person in your life, that family member, or that person who has wronged you. Even Alexander Pope says, to err is human, to forgive is divine. We've all heard that one. We've all heard that saying. So we have a lot to be thankful for, you know. And I'm reminded of the stoning death of Stephen, Saint Stephen, in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 55. And Saint Stephen, it says here, but he, Saint Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. These are the detractors. These are the people that were going to stone him to death. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a man's young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul, who was Saul of Tarsus, who would later become Paul, St. Paul the Great. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And they stoned Stephen and calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And St. Stephen's talking. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. So basically, forgive them of what they're doing, similar to what our Lord said on the cross. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death in chapter 8, verse 1. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. And St. Augustine, reflecting on this verse, he said, without the prayer of St. Stephen to St. Father, forgive them, there would be no St. Paul. So, you know, as we know, St. Paul of Tarsus was knocked off his donkey on the road to Damascus, and he would later become St. Paul. So without those prayers of St. Stephen, the deacon, who was the first Catholic martyr in the church, his feast day is December 26th, So right after Christmas, and we honor St. Stephen for his teaching us on how to forgive and for helping St. Paul in his rise to redemption. Okay, so that's very important that we acknowledge that and we see that. And we also know that when we go to Mass and we go to receive communion, if we have something against one of our brothers, we need to bring it and go and make peace with them before we come to the cup of the Lord or we come to communion. That's very clear. And we know that Jesus, our model, the one we are called to imitate, he prayed for all of us from this cross, begging his Father, forgive them. And so within the four Gospels, at the crucifixion of Jesus, there are what tradition refers to as the seven words, the last words of Jesus. You know, we during Lent, you know, and we talk about the last seven last words of Jesus hanging from the cross. But in Luke's Gospel, we have the three words that he gave, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. John's Gospel tells us about three, behold your son, behold your mother, and I thirst. But St. Luke talks about these, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, Luke 23:34. And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There are two parts to that word, and both reveal the depth of the love and mercy of God. First of all, the words, Father, forgive them. Those words should fill our hearts with wonder when we look at what Jesus has experienced for us, what it meant for him to be crucified. Remember, this is after he's been betrayed. This is after he was spit upon and slapped. It is after he's been scourged and a crown of thorns placed on his head. For those of you who saw the Passion of the Christ, you saw a depiction of the bloody mess that his body was in and what he experienced. Okay, I'm taking this from an article that Bishop Samuel J. Or maybe it might have been a sermon Bishop Samuel J. Aquila spoke in Good Friday in 2008. I believe he's the bishop in Colorado. So, if I'm not mistaken, Father, forgive them. He says, my beloved brothers and sisters, we are revealed in the first part of that word, the depth of Jesus' love for us. He goes before the Father, asking the Father, begging the Father, forgive them from the smallest of their sins to the greatest. And Jesus prays for each one of you today. He prays for each one of us from his cross, begging his Father, forgive them. So, but in the second part, the bishop says here, in the second part, the word he speaks, the words, for they know not what they do. That reveals even more the depth of his mercy. Mercy that goes beyond justice. With justice, a person will receive what is his due. Certainly those who crucified Jesus knew what they were doing. They wanted him crucified. They wanted him dead. They wanted him away from them, whether it was the Romans or whether it was the Jewish leaders. And in my story, I wanted this guy hurt. I wanted this guy to suffer like I suffered. I wanted justice. I didn't know that I couldn't dispense justice. And yes, even his apostles who denied him, who fled from him, knew what they were doing. Certainly, there was fear in some of their hearts. There was angst and confusion. But it is the mercy of Jesus who says, for they do not know what they do. And those words, too, are spoken for us today. This is the mercy of God, ladies and gentlemen. That is the depth of love that he has for each one of you. So do we allow his words to speak to the very depth of our own hearts? Do we listen to what he's saying, or have our hearts become so hardened, so calloused, so worldly, so formed by the culture that we're blind to Jesus' love? That blindness was where the heart of Pilate was, where the hearts of the Roman soldiers were, where the hearts of the Jewish authorities were. It is that blindness that Jesus looks at and says, they know not what they do. We too are called to reflect upon the forgiveness of our God, and we too are called to forgive as our God has forgiven us. It is consistent with Jesus' teaching in the Gospels that we would utter this word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For Jesus teaches forgiveness in the Gospels. He says to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, rise and walk, Matthew 9:5. And it causes all sorts of controversy. He says to the woman who's caught in adultery, no one has condemned you, nor do I. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. That was John 8:11. And then he looks at Peter after he has risen up and says, do you love me? This is after Peter had denied him 3 times. And after the resurrection, he meets him at the, you know, at the Sea of Galilee. And he says, Peter, do you love me? You remember that story, John 21:17. In teaching us to pray, he teaches us to pray that our sins may be forgiven as we forgive those who sins against us. That's the Our Father, Matthew 6:9-15. Forgiveness is at the heart of the Christian message. It is the heart of Christ. His blood is poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. We too are called to forgive even our enemies. Jesus will tell us, turn the other cheek, Matthew 5:39. He will teach us, love your enemies, Luke 6:27. So I encourage each of you, ladies and gentlemen, to reflect upon the gift of forgiveness and to open our hearts to that forgiveness that our Lord offers us every day, and especially on Good Friday. Also pray for the grace to forgive as Jesus forgives. So all of us know what happens to us when we do not forgive. We brood over the hurt or the wound, whatever it may be, every time it comes up. We become angry, or we even want to go so far as to kill the other person, maybe not physically, but with words. With words like, I will never forgive that person. With words like, I hate that person. With words like, I will never speak to that person again. And so many other words. That lack of forgiveness does not bind the other person. It binds our hearts. It binds us. And that's why we must forgive. A person who may never enter into heaven is the one who absolutely refuses to ask for forgiveness, or the one who refuses to offer forgiveness. Did you hear that? A person who may never enter into heaven is the one who absolutely refuses to ask for forgiveness, or the one who refuses to offer forgiveness. Our God will not force us. So let us reflect upon this word of Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let those words burn within your hearts today. Ask Jesus to open your heart personally to receive that word and to hear him speak that word to you from the cross as you come, as you go forward to communion, as you go forward to venerate the cross, as you go forward in adoration. Hear Jesus speak those words to you personally. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So it's powerful. It's life-changing, ladies and gentlemen. When you forget about yourself and you let go, you let God. And so in doing so, you learned your faith, you live your faith, and you love your faith. Okay, so going forward, I'd like to see that each one of us take those steps to amend those relationships in our life. God love you. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Jesus 911. Stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mashuda. Remember, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.